Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
If you got your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 2. After the message, we're going to be having communion here this morning. So ask Brother Mike and Brother Eddie if they would be willing to pass out those later on for me. But Revelation chapter 2, once you found that, stand with me for the reading of the word. I'm going to start with verse 4. Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 4, Jesus is speaking here. He says, nevertheless, he just got through praising this church for some good things, but he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on a thought this morning. I know it's Easter, but this is the message God laid on my heart. God is getting ready to put out the fire. God is getting ready to put out the fire. The very first thing I notice in these verses of Scripture where Jesus is speaking here, he says, I have somewhat against thee. Now, as I often say, a lot of times when we read the King James, we read that and we go, and we go on. We don't really pay a lot of attention sometimes to some of these phrases. We just take them for the surface and we leave it there. But in order to really find out what's going on in the heart of Jesus here, we got to go back to the original language. And in the original Greek, this is what this phrase, I have somewhat against thee, means. It means to hold oneself to a person or a thing and cling to it. This is how Jesus feels. And the Bible says that he's married to the backslider. It also means to cling to it with one's head covered in shame, as if he were wearing a veil. So now we picture again in this phrase, I have somewhat against thee. We see Jesus, who first and foremost, he's clinging to this person that has betrayed him, yet he's hanging his head in shame as though it were covered, Brother Eddie, with a veil. And finally, feeling the emotions all the while that this is going on, that he's clinging to them, all the while that he's hanging his head in shame, he's feeling, Brother Mark, those emotions of betrayal. I can't really think of much anything else in this world that will make a person's heart and emotions hurt worse than to be betrayed. And this goes on every single day on our planet. People get married or they get hooked up. Before they get married, they get engaged, whatever the case might be. And for whatever reason, one of them will betray the other with another person. And that feeling is such a gut shot. It goes all the way to your soul. I've heard people say, I remember my Uncle John, when his wife left him, I remember him saying that he felt like he could just go somewhere and just throw up, is how he described the feeling in his gut, what that felt like. You figure, in some cases, some of these people, Sister Jenny, they're with their spouse for over 20 years. And a lot of times when this happens, Brother Eddie, it happens with no warning signs at all. Think how Jesus must feel when someone betrays him like that. And so that's what this phrase, I have somewhat against thee, means in the original language. Then we go to the word left. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left. This one little word left in the original language in the Greek is translated aphiemi. Aphiemi, I don't expect you to remember that. And there's three definitions for this one little word left. Number one, it means to depart from someone and leave him to himself, so that all mutual claims together are abandoned. That's the first definition for this little word left. Number two, to desert someone wrongfully. And number three, to leave someone by not taking him as your companion. In other words, you found another companion. And finally, we come to this last phrase, first love. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, this phrase, first love, is broken down into two Greek words. The word first is translated in the original Greek, protos. Protos. And love, as we know in the Greek, is translated agape. Protos, agape. What does that mean together? Here's what it means. Protos, first and foremost in time, place, order, and here's the big one, importance. First and foremost in time, place, order, and importance. And of course, the second one, agape, is God's eternal love and affection for us. God's eternal love and affection for us. So before I get to verse 5, what I would like to do is spend some time this morning to convey to everyone the fantastical love of God. Brother Jeff already alluded to it somewhat here about what Jesus went through, but I want to give you several scriptures from the Old Testament to the New, and I'll ask you to bear with me. I'm not going to ask you to follow because I got a lot of verses that I want to share. If you want notes, I'll have them. But I do want you to listen to these verses. If you can keep up, that's fine, but if you can't, I'll be happy to give you my notes. But the first one I want to read to you is found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Here's what it says. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. Listen to this. To 1,000 generations. Now, folks, according to Bible scholars, and this is the range they give because they differ on different time calendars and things, but according to Bible scholars, from the time of Adam till now, the range is anywhere from 87 to 104 generations. That's nowhere close to 1,000 generations. And so I think what God's trying to say here is, I love you. And he don't leave anybody out. So again, that's nowhere near the 1,000 generations. St. John chapter 3, verse 16, we all probably know this by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen, here's the key to that verse. God sent his only begotten son to die in our place. You can't get any greater love than that. I know we hear this, those of us that have been in church for many years, we've heard this verse over and over and over, and I think after a while, Brother Jeff, we tend to take it for granted. We forget the powerful connotations of that verse of Scripture. But God so loved this world so much that he was willing to give his only begotten son. We've given this example many times. You have too, Crystal has in Bible study. That would be the equivalent of you taking one of your children or someone in your family that you love so much and pushing them out there to be sacrificed for the sin of some sex offender. Did I get your attention on that? Or for some murderer or some pedophile. I'm trying to think of the most grievous sins I can think of. Some homosexual, some transgender. Take that person you love the most and say, here, Jeff, I'm gonna sacrifice them for your sin. That's what God did when he sent Jesus, his only begotten son. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul speaking here, he says, but God commendeth his love toward us. Listen to this. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Jesus didn't wait, Brother Mark, for them to have a coming to Jesus moment. He didn't wait for them to become regenerated and become a born-again believer. He died for them, Brother Mark, while they were in their sins, while we were in our sins. What a powerful love that is. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. I love these verses of Scripture. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, listen to this, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can't be separated from God's love. All these things named. That's a powerful, powerful love. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I love this one as well. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, listen to this, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. His love is so great, Brother Ronnie, he has prepared things for us one day, Sister Brenda, that are absolutely astounding and mind-blowing. How do we know that? Well, the scripture here says it itself. Eye hasn't seen it. Ear hasn't heard it. Our heart, our imagination can't conceive of it. How many times have we heard people say, unless I see it, I don't believe it. It doesn't exist. And yet, in the past decade or whatever, maybe even century, there are things, and I'm not going to go into detail, but there are things, there are animals, there are sea creatures that people said did not exist. And guess what happened? They washed up on the beach. Or they found a land animal that they used to think was some legend that somebody made up until they found the carcass. Again, I'm not going to go into details. If you're that interested, you look it up. What I'm here to tell you is just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 and 9 and verse 15 says this. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. That's the kind of love our God has. He doesn't leave us destitute of anything, Brother Dennis. That you may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. It's a forever love. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift. St. John chapter 15, verses 13 and 16 says this, and this is a big one. Greater love hath no man than that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's a pretty big love. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is, here it is, rich in mercy. Brother Dennis and I were talking about this before the service, how people backslide on the Lord and they do bad things. They turn away from God. But God, in his great love and mercy and his grace, as we said earlier, God's married to the backslider. He continues to woo them to come back. And although we have a hard time ourselves, people who backslide, I should say, have a hard time themselves forgiving themselves, God does it immediately. Long suffering, patient, gentle, full of mercy, full of grace, rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, there it is again, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are what? Saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches, the exceeding riches, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. One day, the riches that I've said this before, some of you have been with me all these years have heard me say this probably repeatedly, but the reward of the lowest saint of God on the totem pole would bankrupt this world a million times over. We can't begin to comprehend the riches of God. Think about it, and you've heard me say this oftentimes as well, what God thinks about gold. He thinks so little of it, Sister Wanda, that he put it under our feet in his kingdom. We're gonna walk on streets, and not just any gold, but gold that's transparent, and not of this world, amen. Praise God. And then finally, but 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 16 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Here it is. Because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Finally, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. All those verses of scriptures and many, many more I could give, but those are the big ones that speak of God's great love for us. And I want you to keep in mind as we go, you know, a lot of times people will think, how can a God of love send somebody to hell? You know, well, in light of what I just gave you, as I believe, again, Brother Dennis made this statement, it is the equivalent of someone literally spitting in the face of God. What more could he do? Brother Jeff gave us a graphic description of the head of Christ. I read that same thing years ago, that his head was the size of a watermelon. His innards protruding out from the cat of nine tails where they beat him. You know, those of you that have watched The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson, I think every Christian ought to watch that at least once a year around this time, because we need to keep that image in our mind of what Jesus did for us. And yet, as graphic as that movie is, Brother Eddie, it still does not paint the picture of the whole thing that he went through. I mean, it gives a pretty good description of the physical part, but how can you capture the emotional part? How could you ever capture how he felt about us? The song said, while he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. Yeah, all the way up through history. How's that possible, Jimmy? Because he is God. That's how that's possible. Yeah. If we can comprehend, and we can't, a supercomputer, then you might be able to understand a little bit the mind of God, but you can't. Dr. Pastor Evangelist Doug Small once said that 1,000 Einsteins cannot even approach God's foolishness. And I think that's a good way to put it. So, in light of all these verses, I want to talk about 12 different attributes of God's love. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to get through this. It's going to be another two-parter because I've got way too many notes and I'm not even finished, to be honest with you, with this whole sermon. So, but I want to, as I said, before we get to verse 5, before we get to that threat, that warning of Christ, where he said, I'll remove your candlestick out of his place, we got to have a true understanding of why he said that. Okay? So here are the 12 attributes of God's love. Number one, God's love is gentle. God's love is gentle. He's not harsh. He's not brash. He's easily entreated. How many's ever been around someone before you're halfway afraid to approach them with a question? Not so much because you think they're going to whip you, but because they're so harsh with their words and so condescending. Crystal works with someone like that. I don't even think the person realizes it that way. I really don't. Because in other ways, this individual is can be one of your best supporters and encouraging. But when it comes to work, when it comes to employment, Sister Brenda, this person is very condescending, especially towards women. So, but how many, by show of hands, you've ever had association with someone like that where you really didn't want to approach them because you're afraid of what they're going to say? There's a few hands going up. I've experienced that a few times myself. But God's love is gentle. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, how many knows what a yoke is? So let's not just rush through this. How many knows what a yoke is by show of hands? A couple of you. A yoke was something they put on oxen to keep them together so they didn't wander off while they were plowing the fields. It went around their neck. The Bible talks about the weight of the yoke that is upon people's neck, and when he uses that illustration of oxen, because they're beasts of burden, okay? But Jesus is saying, my yoke isn't heavy. It's not binding. It's not constrictive. It's easy, gentle. My yoke is easy. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Number two, second attribute of God's love is merciful. We serve a merciful God. Thank God we do. Brother Jeff had it right again when he said, we're all flesh. We have our moments. We try to strive to be like Christ, but we're not Christ. And we won't be like him until we get that glorified supernatural body that can't be touched by sin or bad thoughts or what have you. But God's love is merciful. And Lamentations 3:22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies, listen to this, that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Think of that. His compassions, they never fail. Number three, another attribute of God, God's love is faithful. God's love is faithful. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." He's a faithful God. Number four, God's love is compassionate. In Psalms chapter 86, verse 15, the psalmist says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." He's a God of compassion. You ever been around again someone that had no compassion? They're not empathetic at all. Jeff was telling the story about the little dog that died. Some people just go, hmm. Some people, I don't want to offend anybody, but some people get their jollies and their kicks out of watching dogs fight to the death. That's sickening. Somebody's got a problem and you can watch something like that. I can't stand to hear the sound of a dog yelp. To me, that's the same as a human being saying, "Please help me, please help me." And for people to get gratification out of that, they got to be demonically possessed or something. I just don't understand how people can do that. Number five, another attribute of God's love. God's love is unfathomable. Unfathomable. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, the Apostle Paul said it this way, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways." I love this, Brother Dennis. "His ways past finding out." He's unfathomable. Number six, God's love is forgiving. God's love is forgiving. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 9, Daniel was pouring out his heart in prayer on behalf of him and his people. And they had just went into bondage several years before this prayer, taken captive by Babylon. And Daniel and Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael all realized that it was justified, because Jeremiah the prophet and some of the other prophets continually warned and tried to warn Israel to turn. And then if they didn't, this was going to happen, but they wouldn't listen, Brother Jeff. So Daniel's saying, you know, "We're getting what we deserve, Lord, but still I'm calling out to you in prayer on behalf of your people." But this one verse here, he says, "To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him." Let me read that again. I hope you're paying attention. "To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him." You kids, I'll talk to you for a minute. Isn't it great when you do something bad and dad still loves you? Aren't you thankful for that? I've had some friends tell me some horror stories about their dads. I had a few encounters with my own. But it's good to have a parent. My mom was like that. Brother Mike, if you did something wrong, she'd scold you for it, but then she'd sit you down and tell you why she scolded you for it, and she wanted you to do better. My dad had a different approach. It was zing, wop, 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 you know. But God is full of mercies, and he's full of forgiveness. Seventh attribute of God, God's love is full of grace. God's love is full of grace. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14 says this, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Exceeding abundant. You know, that word exceeding means to rise above and go beyond. His grace is exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Number eight, I'm almost done with these attributes, and then we'll get to the communion. I'll have to do a two-parter. I'm almost out of time already. God's love is always with us. What an attribute. I get two verses of scripture for this one. I'll go Old Testament and New. Old Testament, Isaiah 43:2. "When thou passeth through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire," I love this, "thou shalt not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." There won't even be a smell of smoke on you. Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." God's love is always with us. Number nine, God's love is eternal. God's love is eternal. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Isaiah chapter 54:10 says this, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord that hath mercy on thee." So his love is an eternal love. It will never depart. It'll never be removed. He said he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Number 10, God's love is protective. In Psalms chapter 57, verse 1, the psalmist said, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." His love is protective. Number 11, just two more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, says, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." God's love is a sacrificial love. And finally, number 12, got two verses of scriptures here. God's love is secure. And I might add, eternally secure conditionally. Eternally secure conditionally. Why do I say that? Because we can walk away. God will never walk away, but we can walk away. Romans 8:35 says this, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? In Ephesians 4:30, the Apostle Paul says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." He does not leave. He's a secure God. His love is secure. If anybody leaves this relationship, it isn't him. He's not the one that walks away. So next week, good Lord willing, we'll go with part two. In light of all of these love scriptures I've given you, good Lord willing, next week I'll give you the reason for Christ's ominous threat, if you will, or warning of what will happen. Our God is a God of love. Every Resurrection Sunday, ministers everywhere, Brother Jeff, go in, some of them into great, I've done it myself in the past, go into great detail about the sufferings of Christ and how much he loved us. God has a reason why he lays these kind of messages on my heart when he does. And I've learned not to question him, although the question did go through my mind. I didn't say it to the Lord, I know better, but I thought in my mind, I wonder why he didn't give me a Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday mess. I hate saying Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday message. Easter's pagan. I don't even like to say that. Went through McDonald's this morning and got Jason a coffee. And the one girl was all smiles and giggles. Said, "Happy Easter." I said, "Happy resurrection to you." She just looked at me all funny. But that's really what it's about for us. It isn't about the transgenders and all that kind of craziness. It's about Jesus coming out of that grave. Amen. Praise the Lord. We trust that that's been a blessing to you today. Now, if you'll pray this prayer with me, neighbor, and mean it with all your heart, I guarantee you Christ will come into your heart and your life and you'll be changed forever. Now, let's pray. Father, I realize that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus as my Savior. You said in your word that if I'll confess my sin, you would be faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Right now, Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sin. I'm placing my trust solely in you, and I'm serving notice upon you, Satan, right now. You no longer have a hold on my life. I am the property of Jesus Christ, because right now, upon my profession of my faith in his finished work, I am saved. Amen. My heartfelt prayer for you today is that you will continue to go with God, and I'll guarantee you this, neighbor, if you will go with God, God will go with you. God bless you today is my prayer.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haining and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
Change. HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.